Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We are here. It is the match preview for a brand new season. Liverpool, Chelsea, Sunday. And yeah, what a wild day it's been in the build-up to this. For pure clarity's sake, it's been a wild morning of Moises Caicedo action. We haven't seen confirmation 100% on what's happening with that transfer. At time of recording, Liverpool have had a bid accepted. But yeah, we can't go too heavy in that, but we will talk about the match. Anyway, joining me, I've got Chloe Bloxham, Abby Rudkin and Andy Bell as well. And have you two done a show before together? Because I've said it's been my desperate to get you two on a show together. It's the two most Scouse girls that I know on a Liverpool show. We've also made sure we've got Andy in just to make sure we've got a bit of diversity as well. Like, you know,
representation's important for another
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this. I am Chloe, parking the transfer stuff for the moment. Liverpool-Chelsea, huge game to kick off the season. It's annoying that it's at Stamford Bridge, of course. I'd much prefer it to be at Anfield. But look, if we're going to find out where Liverpool are at, we're going to find out where Chelsea are at. There's a few better ways to do it than to smash them head-to-head.
Yeah, 100%. It seemed like, you know, in previous seasons, this is a bit of a stalemate, a bit of a boring game, especially last season. My God, went down there. It was a lovely day, sunny, and then the Reds kicked a ball and I hated my life. hopefully it won't be the case this Sunday. It just feels bigger. It's the start of the season. There's a lot more pressure on it to, you know, if you want to challenge for titles, and I'm not saying Liverpool are there, they might be there with a signing or two. But if you want to challenge for titles against Manchester City, you've got to hit the ground running. They need to do that. And it's possibly the best time to face Chelsea, the without Nkunku. Mm-hmm. We don't know how they're going to really line up. Hopefully they don't also know that. So yeah, it feels like this game is going to be goals galore to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, isn't it? I mean, what we know about Liverpool, what we can say with certainty is the attacks looked amazing through pre-season. Mm. We've got six lads there, all the way down to Ben Doak, I would be made up to see any one of them take to the pitch. Mm. And that's what we're hoping, you know, the one thing we can kind of hang our hat on right now. We don't know about the midfield. We're still a little unsure about whether the defence is going to be up to snuff, but I'm excited to see Salah and then take your pick of whoever we surround them with. I'll be just as excited.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel quite comfortable with anyone up front at the minute. Like, probably for me, it'll probably be Diaz, Gakpo, Salah. To be honest, that's probably what I'd go for. I've seen a lot of people are like throwing Jota in now, saying that he's playing much better. Nunes, for me, I feel like I've been really critical of him last season. I feel like I ripped him on here loads of times. But like, he looks a lot more calm and collected now in the way he's playing. He doesn't look as crazy. I mean, I sort of like that side of him, except when he's like headbutting people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I sort of would have faith in anyone. The midfield, I don't know at the minute. We'll have to see, obviously. I mean, I don't think, even if we do get Caicedo, I don't think he'd start, to be honest. I don't think we'd get that over the line unless we do it within like the next hour or something. Yeah. Then I'll start talking about that. But yeah, and then defence, I mean, I don't know yet, to be honest. I think I'd probably just say Konate, Virgil, Trent, Robbo, sort of that sort of thing.
I think, Andy, I think the defence does sort of kind of pick itself. The midfield's going to be a little bit of an X factor. We saw, obviously, Alexis McAllister starting the DM against Darmstadt. What we don't know because I haven't seen Curtis Jones do it against Bayern Munich, is, was that because Curtis had a little bit of a fitness issue going into that game, or is it because they've decided that McAllister's the best fit for it? Because up until that point, they'd seem pretty fixed on the idea of McAllister's going to play one of the eights. Feels like they want to build that midfield around them. And of the lads we've seen so far, I think it's probably fair to say he's the one who settled the quickest. I think Szoboszlai looks okay. You know, I'm looking forward to his Liverpool career, but I don't think he's not exploded onto the scene. I think the way that McAllister just looks like it's been a seamless fit so far. So they're the big question marks over how we line up in midfield for this one, really.
Absolutely, and depending on what happens in the midfield, you know, he said already that he's picking a team for Chelsea, and that's not necessarily going to be the team for the entire season. So it will be interesting to see what he does in that sixth position. I think Chloe's right. I think even if we sign Caicedo, it's not going to be over the line in time. I think it's midday on the Friday. He has to be registered by, and you know, the latest we have is that Chelsea are coming in with another bid, but we'll not get into that. I think whether it's Jones or McAllister on Sunday, I've no issues or qualms with their ability to take the ball in the half turn and progress us up the pitch. I think they're both very good at doing that, and you know, in possession, I've absolutely no doubts that both of them can play that role. The concern is obviously going the other way and whether they have the defensive nous and the kind of destroyer mentality of the Fabinhos, who can lash a tackle in or anticipate a move building up. But that said, you see the goals we're conceding in pre-season and the chances we're conceding in pre-season. It's just like a long ball over the top. And unless you're getting someone in who's 15 foot, it doesn't matter who you put there.
Just got some stilts for your DM in the middle. Like, yeah, go ahead, send it along, see what happens.
Honestly, they're going to have to come out wearing heels. That's what it's going to be like at this point. But, yeah. But you know, they nothing can stop that at this point. Now, obviously, you know, if you've got, like, for example, like Caicedo in there and he can cut off a move before it's even being able to develop or win the ball back within 3 seconds, you know, that makes a difference to how you retain the ball and this, that and the other. But yeah, for Sunday, it's one of those that it looks like whichever midfielder we do get, it's not going to be on in time, and it's just one of those we're just going to have to try and get through.
And this is the thing, you know, our attitude on this will change depending on what happens in the next sort of 24 hours, I guess, club. But Liverpool have made this bed for themselves. You know, they've not boxed the defensive midfielder off. They sold two. They've not replaced in time for this game necessarily. And even if, again, we were to sign someone before midday, the odds of them starting away at Stamford Bridge, first game of the season, having probably not even trained with the teammates, seems kind of highly unlikely. So we're going to have to make do with what we've got. But I suppose it's that idea of having that professional in there would make us all feel a lot calmer. But you know, ultimately, this is the situation we played our way into. It's actually on the rest of the team to pick up the slack. And it is going to be, it does feel like, kind of you were alluding before, if this is going to be a game, it's going to be either be the dullest game of football anyone's ever seen, where they both cancel each other out, or it is a 4-3-5-4 slobber knocker that sees, like, you know, it's like a next goal wins, NBA Jam style.
Yeah, I think it's what the Caicedo deal would do is it would give either team the bounce, because us rocking up to Stamford Bridge with Ecuador flags, taking the mick out of their fans, like it'd set up either way. These two sets of fans are going to absolutely hate each other on the day. We know that. That was already set in stone. But to add this transfer war, to have someone being the winner going into this game, it just adds more fury to the fire. And I can't wait, because the atmosphere is going to be incredible. What a game it is to kick off the season, by the way. If you couldn't get up for, you know, this, then I can't help you with anything else. But it seems like whoever's the most disciplined is going to win the game, because we both teams at the moment don't have a DM, which is why we're both looking for Caicedo and the likes of Lavia, who we've been linked with. And it'll be who can makeshift that better, because they've obviously got the Enzo Fernandez, they've got Conor Gallagher there. I'm not too sure who they're going to make in that DM kind of role.
Well, it's just on that point, so I got the side up to play their last pre-season game, 1-0 with Dortmund.
I'm not too sure who they're going to make in that DM kind of role.
Just on that, but they went with Reece James, Thiago Silva, Levi Colwill, curse his name, Ben Chilwell across the back four, doing 4-2-3-1, Conor Gallagher, Enzo Fernandez as the pivot, with Sterling, Chukwuemeka, and Nkunku and Jackson leading, and Jackson the tip of the spear in that one. Obviously, you mentioned before, and Nkunku's out for 4 months, which is a huge loss. You know, we talk about the bounce, losing your big, your main signing for the summer is a big thing for them. But Abby, Conor Gallagher and Enzo Fernandez, you know, both good players. But I suppose there's one thing to kind of comfort ourselves with. They don't have that destroyer either. So they're not exactly watertight through the middle of the pitch either. So again, it probably does filter into our idea of this is more likely to just be a high scoring game rather than it be an aggressive type one.
Yeah,
really.
That's the thing. I absolutely hate this fixture every season. I absolutely despise it because it's just nil-nil and boring. And to be honest with you, I'm quite liking the fact that we might both be in this situation where we might just actually both have a go at each other and it'll be like good watching because it's just been so boring. It's not, not that it's not worth my time and effort, but travelling all the way down there to sit there for a nil-nil just feels rubbish and it gives something for the fans to like want to go for. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I'm quite excited for it. Not that I'd rather that it was that way. Obviously, I'd rather we could just start Casado and then just, you know what I mean? But yeah, like, I'd rather it was that way in a way. Like, go back to, like, you think about, like, 5 years ago or whatever, where it used to just be us trying to outscore people at a point. It's a bit, like, it's exciting, do you know what I mean? I can enjoy that to a point, not when we're trying to go for a title and all that, but,
we can go both ways on that. I think we saw this when Rafa lost his way at Liverpool. He went back to the defensive stuff and our heads fell off as fans. Like, oh, God, can't go back to watching nil-nil football and, like, grinding results. I think we've seen, you know, title challenges and goals and glorious moments. So, yeah, if you're going to get buy-in from Liverpool fans, have us play attacking football is probably not the worst thing. What do you think on this one, then, Andy? Because Chelsea are... I just look at that side and look, they've got so many players still. It could be any others. And just they brought on Mudrick, Cucurella, Lewis. Wow, not really many, to be fair. They've still got Andre Santos in there. They've got a lot of players I've never heard of, which is good on them, I suppose.
Surely not that Andre Santos, is it? The one that was really crap for Arsenal.
No, that would be hilarious. That's how many footballers they've got. Yeah. They're just acquiring them for a laugh now. I look at that team, and obviously no Nkunku, I think he would have been a big decisive player, particularly if he was playing down the left-hand side for them. Could have really exploited the spacing behind Trent and what have you. I think Chukwuemeka is a really good player, really smart. I'm gutted Liverpool missed out on him when he left Villa, to be honest. Obviously, you know what Raheem Sterling can do. Jackson's a bit of an unknown quantity, but he's been scoring goals in pre-season. Good player.
Great.
But I don't look at a midfield axis of Conor Gallagher and Enzo Fernandez and get too worried. Reece James in a back four, I don't think is as much of a concern as him playing as a wing back four. Then Thiago Silva still brilliant, but at some point he's going to stop being brilliant, you'd think, because he's 100 years old, and Kepa's Kepa. So like I don't look at that side. I think you can get this better than some of your parts. Poch is a good manager, but I think pound for pound, even without a professional DM for us, we should be more than good enough to give these a game here.
No, I completely agree. I actually saw something, the XG Philosophy Twitter page put something out that the last four games, cumulatively, it has been Chelsea 0, Liverpool 0, but the XG cumulatively over the four games is like 7.2 to 5.8. So like it's overdue goals by 13, which is you know, absolutely massive. And if you think about like a normal distribution curve, that's right at the extreme of randomness and what can happen. So, you know, this might just be one that kind of is part of the reversion to that mean. And, you know, the way both teams are playing, it looks as though that could well be the case. You know, you're right on Chelsea. I think they'll be looking at that Bayern Munich game and, you know, it's quite a basic tactical analysis or dumbing it down to something, but basically when we lost the ball in that game, our right back was playing centre midfield and our left back was playing left wing, and we're defending with two players half the time. And if you're Raheem Sterling and Mikhail Mudrick, as it would be, you know, you're thinking, right, I'm just going to keep it tight, and the minute they lose the ball, I'm bombing into those fullback spaces. And you know, the wee lad Jackson, I think 12 goals and 25 for Villarreal last year, a team who don't really score that many goals. So there's absolutely no doubt about it. Like, they will carry a threat and we will be vulnerable, whether it's a number six position or whether it's just the way the fullbacks are playing in this system. So I think you could get an absolutely mad game on Sunday. And I think that's what we're going to have to do if we're going to win it. I don't think we're going to go and win 2-0. It'll be 3-2 or 4-3. And as long as we get the points, I don't care.
The six is going to be the unknown, and that's going to make it so hard to predict the team, Chloe. But one of the other things is, we were doing this on the pre-season wrap-up show on Plus yesterday, of like, I'm no clearer really on who Liverpool's attack is. who Liverpool's best 11 is, really, off the back of this. And the other X factor is Cody Gakpo. Yeah. And is he going to play as a 9 or is he going to play as an 8/10? And then if he does play in the midfield, who then plays in the 9? Because we've seen Darwin Núñez and Salah link up a lot during pre-season, but we've also seen Jota and Gakpo linking up a lot. If it's you in the managerial hot seat for this, what would you rather? Would you rather Jota lead the line and Gakpo midfield? Would you, I mean, God, to go through the, there's about 50 permutations of what we could actually do. What would you go for?
If Klopp's brave enough, I put Gakpo in the 8, I put McAllister in the 6, and I have Jota up top. Núñez, make him run Thiago Silva into the ground for the last 20. I'm okay with that. But save him as your kind of absolute chaos. If you need someone to cause something, put him on. Jota is showing he's prolific. He's our most prolific striker. Why you wouldn't have him on the pitch, I'm not too sure. Mm. He's shown how good he can be in pre-season. And I think what you get with Darwin Núñez is you get to sit there and say, look, lad, you know, we rushed you in too quickly last season because of the absolute shit show we had with all the injuries. What we're going to do is we're going to give you time, drip feed you in, let you have the minutes. And if you take those minutes, you get more chances. But there's less pressure on you now because we've got 4 players available who can do it. So for me, I'd 100% have Diaz on the left. I'd have Salah on the right, obviously. Jota up top and Gakpo as the 8, hopefully.
It's... Again, it's mad, isn't it? Because, you know, we could just start Gakpo. And I think one of the issues we've got, Abby, is that not having that dyed-in-the-wool number 6 means that I think we have to choose our forward line a bit more carefully. I think if we'd had Caicedo, for example, in the door, or Lavia, or whomever, Fabinho, you know, I think there's a chance that you start with Darwin Núñez because you can afford to have 10 other players pulling together like Man City do. You know, Haaland does nothing else really for that team. He's a bit of a wall to pass the ball off, and then he'll get in positions to score goals. I'm happy with Núñez doing that, but I wonder whether Klopp's a little concerned about what it does going the other way. So actually Jota or Gakpo centre forward probably makes sense to cover a little bit of those failings.
Well, I was going to say put Gakpo, and then I've obviously Diaz and Salah, but like Chloe sold it to me there, to be honest with you. You've sort of convinced me.
If we're beating them 4-3, have 4 attackers on at this point.
If we're going all for it, then fair enough, I'll go with what Chloe has said. But I do get what you mean. Núñez just, like, his game is what it is, do you know what I mean? He doesn't add much else elsewhere. So.
But it sounds more attacking to say, it's like, because we're saying 4, but Gakpo in midfield...
That's what Núñez doesn't have. How many times have we heard this pre-season? The way to get into this side is to learn the press. If you're the best at the press, you're in. Jota is just better at pressing up top than Darwin Núñez is. He doesn't understand the system yet. He still looks a little bit like a headless chicken. He looks much better, much more calm. He's in the right areas and he's improved in composure. But if we're going on pressing is the philosophy here, Gakpo knows how to press as a number 9 if he plays there. And he incredibly somehow knows how to press as an 8 as well. So based on that, that's why I put those down.
I think there's a crucial thing as well in that whoever is playing the number 6, if we're trying to protect them and we've got our 3 midfielders in there who are going to be in there, and then your number 9's like Gakpo who's dropping deep, that is a defensive tactic in the midfield as much as it is like a false 9 dropping deep to get the ball. If we lose the ball, Gakpo's in there and he can counter press. And I think someone like that, you know, will massively help out whoever's playing in the number 6 because it's less onus on the number 8s. And he can just drop in. I think Jota can do a similar enough job. It's more, he's more defending from the front rather than dropping in.
Yeah.
And with the greatest respect to him, I wouldn't have Núñez anywhere near the starting lineup just for this one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just honestly wouldn't be arsed. If we start doing this, I'll be absolutely fine with it, by the way. But I agree. I think what we saw toward the back end of pre-season suggests that we're trying to be a little bit more put about by better presses. But I think your point's spot on with Nunes. And I said this like the other day, kind of go back to what he was at the start of last season. Bring him on for half an hour. Just like, you know, have him be an explosive impact, get his feet under him, get him confident. And then, I'm not opposed to that being Diaz as well, by the way. I could quite easily see Gakpo start, Jota come off the left, because he's been getting goals from central and from left as well. He's your best. That three is your best pressing from three, I think, almost. It's the perfect blend of pressing but goals. And I think that's why we went to that. The back end of last season, it was the one he could trust the most to do it. Obviously, Diaz wasn't fully fit and sharp, so I'll sort of counter that point slightly with that. But I'd love to see Diaz start. But imagine a world where all of a sudden you bring in Diaz and Nunes into a game with half an hour to go. There's all your pace, and there's your dynamism, and then there's your X factor in Diaz. He's still got Salah on the pitch, and then maybe you've got like 10 minutes of dough right at the end if you really want to leg them. I honestly, I don't know. I could convince myself of any possible permutation on this.
You've also potentially got Harvey Elliott off the bench, who can unlock doors from that midfield position. He looked decent in pre-season when he came off the bench. He looked like the attacking outlet. He was heavily involved. He was obviously in a team that was much, you know, not our starting 11, let's say. He was the kind of spark in those teams.
Let's talk it out then. Let's say McAllister starts in the six. Abby, who are you putting as the other two midfielders?
You should convince
Curtis?
Me.
Sabo.
See, this is my problem with Curtis Jones. Obviously, he's playing a lot better, to be honest with you. But I can't see if we do get Casado in him getting a lot of game time outside of that. So I'm a little bit stuck on it, to be honest with you. I mean, Gakpo in the eight sounds like a really good idea, so I think I'll go
just
with that.
See,
it's just the girls, isn't it? So, you know.
I go on, Cole, what you do. We'll do two. We'll do McAllister in the six, and then we'll do Jones in the six. What do you think? So McAllister's in there.
I've said it already, so I'm gonna have to stick by it, aren't I? Gakpo on the left. Szoboszlai on the right, just because I really like it.
Okay.
So the thing with Szoboszlai as well is he's having a few shots on, and I to be honest with you, I can see second half of the season him banging quite a few of them in.
Yeah.
He just needs a bit of time.
Notoriously bad.
Yeah, well that's the thing.
Well.
I feel like he could get one past Kepa. Do you know what I mean? Give him his game time.
Couldn't Roberto Sanchez start here because Kepa has been linked with a move to Bayern Munich?
I'd still have a shot at Robert Sanchez. Like.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Andy.
I'm going to disagree with the Scouser. Sorry about that. If McAllister's in the six, it's a bit of a boring answer. I'd play on Szoboszlai anyway, and if McAllister's in the six, Jones is in the eight, and if Jones is in the six, McAllister's in the air. I don't think you can say to Curtis Jones, with how threadbare the midfield looks right now, after how well he did last season, I don't see how you don't trust him in this.
Yeah.
Because how do you almost come back from that? Well, if he's seeing then Caicedo coming in, he's thinking, well, I couldn't get a game when we hardly had anyone here, so what can I do now? And, you know, whoever plays there, let's assume it's not Caicedo, whoever plays there is going to be vulnerable. They aren't a natural number six, but Curtis Jones has played there all summer, both in the friendlies and you know, in the Euro 21s as well. So, yeah, that would be my midfield three, whichever position they are.
Can I add to that, though? What if Curtis Jones is being told, look, lad, you've been boss, you can improve, but you are a squad player? What if he's just being told that, though? Like, he can make himself... To be a squad player, it doesn't mean you sit on the bench and then you come on in the 70th minute. It means you're in rotation. It means if you take your chance, you can start the next game. And if you take it in that, you can start... But then if someone else comes in and proves themselves, okay, well, there's a bit of competition here. You've got to fight for it.
There's already three ahead of him, and then you're breaking a British transfer fee, potentially, for another one who's ahead of him.
Who's ahead of him? Are you putting Thiago ahead of him?
Well, possibly. I wasn't even thinking about that, but I'm saying if you play McAllister, Szoboszlai, and one other, that's not Jones... On Sunday, then that's three ahead of him already.
Yeah, no, I just
don't think you can say to him at this point because of how good he was.
And I totally agree. That's why I think Curtis Jones will start this game regardless. Mm-hmm. I think I'd probably be slightly more comfortable with McAllister in the six because he just looks a little bit more combative in there. He looks a little bit gnarlier. But I think if that's the case, I think Jones has to start in that left side of the eight for me because that was where he shone for us last season. Nobody in pre-season, that's the one difference. Nobody's gotten into those positions that he was getting into last season, you know, like that arriving at the back post and sticking the ball away. I don't think anyone's quite played it that way for us. If it was an ideal scenario, I don't think we'd have been starting McAllister and Szoboszlai first game of the season anyway. I think you ease Szoboszlai in because he's another one who's just learning the ropes. He's a bit of an unknown still, whereas Curtis is, you know what you're getting. You know 100% what you're getting from Curtis Jones if you put him in that one. So if it's McAllister in the six, I'm putting Jones there, and I would then either go Gakpo's either leading the line or he's in midfield. If he's playing centre forward, then I'd probably go with I'd either go Szoboszlai or Elliot in that situation. But yeah, I can't see how Curtis Jones doesn't play. If he's playing in the six, he's playing in the six and that's what he's playing. But if he's not playing in the six, it would be a bit of a kick in the teeth, I think, to be like, you were boss last season, you were a real part of the resurgence, you've gone and had a brilliant summer with the under-21s, you've really matured as a footballer, you've done as a solid by playing a little bit of DM in pre-season. Go on, mate, that's your shirt to lose, but that's just
that's the thing, though. He's come up against so much criticism, like, the first half of the season, then he proved himself, and then all of a sudden you're taking his space off him, do you know what I mean? We're signing all these players and telling them he's a squad player. He might not be happy with that, really. I do know that means he'll be in rotation, but I just don't think he'd be happy with that. Like, he's fought for his place, do you know what I mean? But at the same time, you're going for titles, aren't you?
Well, and it's how they perform in training, which we don't see. You know, if he's been rubbish in training, he won't play. But if he's actually been boss at the end of last season, then the boss at the end of the 21s, and then he's been working his socks off all summer and the manager's impressed with him, then of course he'll start. Because like, that's to say, that's where he's at. He's earned the right to lose that place, and someone else should come in and take that off, and to buy someone and then take. I don't think he could have performed better. I don't think anyone functionally could have performed that role better. I think different. I think McAllister plays it differently. I think Gakpo plays it differently. But you know, we want goals from, I think, from those attacking midfield slots. And Kirk got a couple at the back end of last season. So, you know, almost as many as anyone has done it in recent years. So
there's a physicality point with the midfield as well, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Like Gakpo's 6'4", Szoboszlai's absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Curtis Jones has filled out and has become a lot more physically adept in these games. I even thought, like, a lot of stick when we went to Forest and lost 1-0 last year, but I actually thought he was our only player standing up to them a little bit, holding them off with the ball. You know, we know McAllister isn't the most physical player, so, you know, someone like an Elliot could struggle a little bit with the arrival of McAllister purely off that physical point, because how many times, especially given our away form last season, did we go to some of those bottom sides and just get absolutely bullied off the park.
Yeah.
And had no chance, no way of creating a chance because we couldn't get a hold of the ball or keep a hold of the ball.
Yeah.
So I think that's a concern for him.
Energy and physicality is what you need in midfield. And that's why maybe Elliot doesn't get the nod in this one. If McAllister's in the six, just to give you that extra little bit of stability of just having a couple more 6-footers. And that way, Curtis, Scappo or Szoboszlai all fall into that category, just give you a little bit more.
Curtis is the sensible option. I just don't choose sensible options, evidently. if Curtis Jane starts, I'll be happy with it.
That's why he chose to work for us, club.
Yeah.
Hamoud Al-Tokhi with a huge super chat in a currency I don't know, so I apologise, but it says, reminder, Jürgen Klopp said, we all feel 100% responsible of what happened last season and we want to make things right. Trust us and be patient. We will have a remarkable season for our fans. You'll never walk alone. In Jürgen Klopp, we believe. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think Pochettino's a great manager, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I think he's one of the top managers in the world, but he is still new. He is still trying to find his 11, let alone, you know, like
he's 23,
know.
More like.
No, but that's what I mean. I joked this on a show the other day of like, he's got a chunk of marble there at Chelsea, but like, how gifted is he at chiseling away at that? You know, anyone can chisel away at a chunk of marble. If he gets it right, he could have like a statue of David in there. You know what I mean? He could have an absolute masterpiece. But if he gets it wrong, it's a useless. You've just wasted a load of marble, haven't you? Ultimately, and I think he's still working away at that. We're starting to see the shape of what he's doing, but hopefully, it's a little bit early in the process for him before they've got the. He's got his arms around everything they're trying to do. It is always a bit reductive to do this, but we're going to do this because in old school Red Men build up format style, let's have a score prediction from people. Sorry, Chloe, you're going first.
4-2 Liverpool.
Abby?
Probably 0-0 at this rate.
Oh,
Abby!
It's going to end up 0-0, isn't it? But let's just say 4-4, but I just feel like it's going to be 0-0.
Okay, sad. Andy?
I think it could be anything, but I'll go 3-2 Liverpool.
Cool, I'll take a 4-3 Liverpool win here. Mm. Madness to start the season. A bit like that Arsenal game in Mane's first season where they get the first goal in that, don't they? And then Mane just decides to rock up and be...
They miss a penalty as well.
Yeah.
Side the Meg, penalty hero.
Yeah, so yeah, fingers crossed. It's a nice, a nice exciting time for everyone. Boss, yeah, we will be here in the studio for this one, so do make sure you check out a bit of a revamp on the match day content as well. So I'm excited to show you guys what we're going to be doing. So come and join us on Sunday afternoon for all of that good stuff. Thank you to everyone in the comments who's interacted and put the scores in. Graham here predicting 2-1 to Liverpool. Paul Day LFC says 3-0. Craig the Brute says 8-7 to Liverpool. Big fan of all that. And of course, if you want Moises Caicedo news, whatever happens next, we've got you covered in a big way. We've got a Redmen Reacts with me and Chris up on redmenplus.com right now. I'm going to be speaking to Neil Jones about this, and we've got a whole bunch of other things lined up as well. So yeah, hopefully some movement on that in the coming few hours. And yeah, we'll have you covered from all angles on redmenplus.com. If you go there and use the code Caicedo, Caicedo, on a Captain yearly subscription, you're going to get a massive discount on that. Tom, can you remember what the discount is?
50% off.
Yes, well, it's up. To get 50% off a yearly subscription to Red Men Plus, use the code Caicedo on a Captain yearly subscription. 50% off for a full year of Red Men Plus. Fill your boots on there and enjoy yourselves. We hopefully will. Anyway, cool. Sounds. We'll see you all very, very soon. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.